I'm very pleased to welcome right now the three-time Grammy Award winner, truly one of the great violinists of our time, and by all accounts, a very nice person as well, Hilary Hahn. Welcome to FM 91.
Thank you so much. It's nice to be here.
Last time I spoke with you, you gave a little shout-out to your fans here in Toledo, and I wonder if we can just briefly start with that, because you played with the Toledo Symphony back in the 1990s a few times.
Yeah, I remember Toledo fondly. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm told there's a standing invitation if you ever want to come back. So.
It's a beautiful hall, too.
Yeah,
it's really
lovely.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Well, let's talk about the album Eclipse, which is a remarkable album, not only for the music that's on it, but also for the story that is behind it. You write in your introduction to this album that it almost didn't happen. So can you give us some background on the project?
Sure. Let's see. Let's back up just a little bit. So when I was planning the album, I was super excited to work on these pieces with my dear colleagues I've worked with for decades, the Frankfurt Radio Symphony and conductor Andres Orozco Estrada, who is a spectacular interpreter of lots of different kinds of music. I've worked with him in a lot of different places, and I've worked with the orchestra for a couple decades. We've toured the world, different continents, and played so much different repertoire together. So that in itself was exciting. And I was really passionate about the pieces, the Ginastera Violin Concerto, working on Dvorak with my colleagues and doing Sarasate Carmen Fantasy. That project was a pinnacle of my season. I took a sabbatical starting in 2019 for a year, in the middle of which the lockdowns happened. And the direction of my sabbatical and the reason for it just changed entirely, which was really formative for me, but in a very, I think, a very intense way, as it was for a lot of people. And then the next season was also largely affected. A lot of my concerts were canceled, and I couldn't get to a lot of other concerts. So as it turned out, the project that I really was looking forward to for the entire season was pretty much the only thing that remained after 2 years of working on my own, not having worked with others, and going through this huge experience of what it's like to, first of all, go through a sabbatical as a year of personal exploration, development, and then also the global impact of so many things that happened in those 2 years. I just didn't quite know who I was as a musician anymore because I'd just been working by myself. And when you're a musician, so much of who you are and how you develop is in concert, no pun intended, with your colleagues, and you reflect off of them, you are challenged by them, you take that into consideration, you work on it for a day or two, and then you join up again, and you push it further. And I've been pushing sort of in a direction on my own, which I didn't quite understand the purpose of until I knew I would be on stage, when it would come clear. And that time on stage was when the mics were supposed to be on, so I was doubting whether that was the moment to record, and I concluded it wasn't. But then I really thought about it and decided that actually there are very few moments in a career or in life where everything is in the same place at the same time, and this would be an opportunity to record whatever it was that happened. And I'm so glad that with my colleagues who I trusted immensely and with this huge resurgence of collaboration that we were all experiencing in the moments when the mics were on, I'm really glad that it became something life-changing that was made into this record.
Yeah, it's wonderful recording, and three different works on here. Listeners certainly know those melodies from Carmen in the Sarasate Carmen Fantasy, and they probably know the Dvorak, at least the third movement of the Violin Concerto, but my latest obsession is this Violin Concerto by Ginastera, because I'd never heard it before, and it's so unusual and virtuosic in its own way. I wonder if you can tell us about your history with this piece.
Welcome to the club of obsession with the Hinostera Violin Concerto. I love the piece so much. If you get me started, I'll talk about it for an hour. I think it's just this beautiful, human, emotional, challenging, and resolving piece of work. It's a genius composition. There's so many layers to it. He is doing so many things that you don't understand even playing it for a month or two, and then you start to dig in under the surface and you realize. So, for example, he starts with a cadenza, and even just the first two notes, he starts with two of the most powerful notes combined in a unison. So you're solo, but you're playing with yourself already at the beginning. You're playing two voices together. And then he proceeds to go through these new sort of techniques that are based on old techniques, but he turned them on their heads so that he can express something even more directly impactful for the listener. And then later in the piece, he does studies on different aspects of the building blocks of composition, like intervals, tones, sounds, all of the senses in music. If you break down music into a sensory experience and you have these subcategories of sensory experience of listening, he explores all of them in a way that's not even academic. It's really about the emotion. That's just the first movement. The second movement is written for soloists in the orchestra, which means the principal players of the orchestra, which makes certain members of the orchestra for the entire movement of the piece audience, which means that the barrier between audience and stage is broken. And then the definition of what is chamber music is challenged. The definition of what is orchestra and what is soloist is reversed. And it's just this beautiful thing that in live concert is even more dimensional, but you sense that happening when you hear it in a recording under mics. The third movement has so much percussion, but he uses percussion as abstract expression. And it's not what you expect percussion to be, but he knows everything about every instrument, so he can just do whatever he wants to express with these different instruments. And there's even a moment in there where he writes a little gesture for the initial dedicatee of the piece. And as someone who's had pieces written for me, and I've premiered many pieces, I recognize a composer's shout out to the premiering violinist. There's a moment that quotes Paganini, and Ruggero Ricci was the premiering violinist, and he was known for his Paganini. There's also a bit of a Bach and a Shostakovich reference, and it's just really fascinating. But it's really Hinostera's language, his own musical language. Yeah. And one thing I'll say about that is that I think that listening to music that is different, that challenges you, that makes you feel a whole range of things is really what music is about. I think the arts are the emotional document of history, and they help us to feel what other people felt in the past. They help us to turn that into what we feel right now. And when we go through difficult emotions in the music takes us into a resolution of those emotions. All thousands of us in the same room going through this same experience with all of our different experiences that merge in that one moment in those particular tones in the hall that just move the air a little bit in a certain way. It's really a very special experience, and a piece like Hinostera pushes the edge of all of that.
Well, behind all of that, I mean, there's your incredible technique, and you know, the harmonics that you play on that concerto alone make my head spin just listening to all the different things that you have to do. Can you talk about your violin, the instrument that you actually brought to this album?
Sure. It's a violin that I feel very much at one with when I think it plays. And obviously, there's a lot of work that went into that, but it's just nice to have an instrument that expresses the feelings that you feel at the moment you feel them, and you don't have to translate it into technique and then back out into a feeling. It's really part of me. It's a Viom, Jean-Baptiste Viom, a French violin made in Paris in 1865, and it's one of his models that's based on a Stradivarius.
Yeah, it's just lovely sounding. Let's talk about the other works on this disc. I mean, everybody, as I mentioned, will know the melodies from Carmen, that Carmen Fantasy, which I guess you had never performed before you recorded it. Is that true?
That is true, and that electricity of a first performance of something when everything is on the line, that's what's in the recording. And I couldn't have gotten there without my colleagues, but I also had everything inside me. I just didn't know I had it. And being pushed to the edge, I think, sometimes pushes you into a new phase. And I think for me, this project pushed me into a new phase of who I am as an artist. The Carmen is just this fantastic virtuoso showpiece, but it's not meant to be about the violin. The opera has a lot of famous arias that Carmen herself sings, and there are a lot of moments for the orchestra as well in the opera that bridge those emotional peaks. And what Sarasate, the violinist composer, did when he was arranging it for violin is he translated the spirit of Carmen into the technique of violin, maintained a lot of the melodies with the words as they exist in the opera. And it's really a tribute to Carmen. Her arias are in this particular thing. And so I wanted to make sure that when I was playing, what I was doing was evoking the singer, evoking the character, and evoking the context of these arias in the greater story. So I was really thinking about the tempi from based on the opera and translated into violin. So I think it's a bit different from the virtuoso vehicle aspect, but you still need all the virtuosity. And it's really fun to play.
I love that you mentioned the tempi, because that was the first thing I noticed, is that, you know, it's easy to take some of those melodies for granted, like the habanera, you know, we've heard it a million times before, but just the tempos and the sense of space in your recording is wonderful.
It's very intentional. And there's a flute melody, pium, pium, pium. A lot of violinists, when you play it violinistically, it's like, yep,
right.
But the flutes, it's a very like a slinky, mysterious, meandering thing when the flutes play it, and they're finding their way, and then it all builds up. And I thought that was so fascinating to explore within different violin techniques, and my colleagues were also wanting to try that direction. So we were all exploring in it together, finding our way into the peak. And it was just so, so cool to play that way.
We don't have a lot of time left, but I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the Dvorak Concerto. It's probably one of the more recognizable in your repertoire, but it also has kind of that folk-like feel to it in the same way that the Ginastera has in a different, you know, way. But I wonder if you can talk a little bit about your work with Dvorak.
All of these composers had a very distinct musical language from, I believe, from their childhoods, and they found their way through that into their own language and retained some of their original spirit of their country music, so to speak, but they interpreted it in their own way. And I think Dvorak is really well known for that. There are definitely folk elements in his writing. And at the same time, this concerto is a really complex, complete orchestral composition. It has a lot of ways you can proportion the interpretation, and it's extremely lyrical. And so the challenge, I think, for the slower movements is that they not become run-on sentences. And I look at them as lots of little stories inside a bigger story, so that each section of the music has its own character, its own tonal approach, its own type of phrasing. And when you do that, the possibilities of interpretation are endless. So it's such a beautiful work with all these melodies that overlap in sort of irregular ways. And when you really delve into it, it takes you to really deep places. The third movement is this celebration, this celebration of string playing and of all the different aspects of the orchestral tonalities. And they join together in a dance. And it's such a fluid piece. It's just such a joy to play. One thing I've noticed is when I learned it as a student, it was considered sort of maybe not niche repertoire, but not quite mainstream, contemporary of other pieces that were mainstream. But now fans, audience members know it so well that I would consider it mainstream, actually. It's not programmed as often, but I see people unable to restrain their body language listening to the piece because it's so infectious and it gets under your skin so quickly that I think it's one of the most popular pieces in the repertoire today.
I love that you not only play the violin, you tell the story of all these pieces. They're all stories that intertwine in a sense. And you're also a talented singer. I didn't know that.
I don't think so.
You gave us a little sample in your flute imitation.
Well, yeah. I have a little bit. I can carry a tune. Yes, I'll admit to that.
Definitely. I just want to mention before I let you go that you have such a wonderful presence on social media, and I love that video of the unboxing of this album because it's not just a digital release. There's also a physical release as well.
Yes.
That you did with one of your guinea pigs, yeah?
Yes, Poppy kept me company.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, why not bring your life into your music? It's an honor to be able to play these works, and they're also written by people who lived in a complex world of their own, as do all of us. And so I think we all bring something of ourselves to the listening and to the playing experience.
Wonderful. Well, the album is called Eclipse, Celebrating the Power of Authenticity, as it says here. That's from violinist Hilary Hahn with the Frankfurt Radio Symphony and Andres Orozco Estrada at the podium. Wonderful album, Musica Dvorak, Ginastera, and Sarasate. I'm going to go back and listen to it some more right after we're done here. But Hilary, thanks so much for taking some time today here on FM 91.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Hi, Toledo. See you sometime.